Good morning, boys.
Good morning.
Seems like there's not as many boys as there was last time I was here. Does anyone have a prayer request?
The brothers and sisters. My dad and all my uncle coming back from Washington, D.C.
Okay. Who else? Your dad and who else? Hold on. Okay. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for this new day that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together here with our brothers and sisters. Lord, we just pray that you would be with us today. Lord, that your spirit would be here among us, within us. We pray that we could be encouraged, strengthened to walk the narrow way by the word, your word. Pray for the requests for the brother South Dakota, that you would help them to be a true witness. And pray for Brother Steve and Brother Olin as they're traveling back from Washington, D.C. Would you just keep them safe according to your will? Just help each one of us to be faithful in whatever, wherever we find ourselves to be each day. Help us to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that he died to set us free from the bondage of sin and Satan. We just pray this in his precious name. Amen. Okay, maybe we'll first have your assignment. And if you just want to all stand up and we'll say it in you can just all say it together. Maybe with Judah, maybe you can start it, lead it.
Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that has come to ever be, when I saw your head to Jesus, all the Lord mercy. Yet he found me, I beheld him living on the earth street, and from the beautiful heart that he comes to the
okay, you can sit down. Thank you. Have you ever heard of the term a Sunday Christian? In the Amish, they used to talk about Sunday Christians, and it was referring to people who went to church. They put on their Sunday clothes on Sunday and go to church and just be a Christian on Sunday, but then during the week, they would just live their life to please themselves, to make money or whatever their pursuits in life was, to go on pleasure trips or whatever. But that's not what God is looking for. He's looking for people that are willing to give up their whole life and to just serve Him every day of their life. So, when I read that poem, that's what I had to think of. I had to think of that. I think we're ready to read in Psalm 6. And I thought maybe since it's only 10 verses, I might just read two Psalms. So I'll read 6 and 7. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? David is pleading to God here to have mercy on him. And he's telling to God, if I just die, how can I give, how can I remember you and give thanks to you and praise you when I'm dead? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Even in all his distress here, he's confident that God will hear his prayer. Because he knows that these things have not come upon him because of that it's just trying him. And he knows that I'm not quite sure though why at this particular time. Sometimes it was because of his sins that he was allowed to be tried like this. Psalm 7 says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. I'm not sure where right now, but somewhere it says that David was a man after God's heart. And I don't know whether that means that he was just a man who sought to know what God's heart was and how God wanted him to live, what his will was, or whether it meant that he kind of thought the way God thinks. I think it could be both. But in verse 8 there, you can see that David, he loved righteousness, and he wanted what was righteous to be established, and he wanted wickedness to come to an end. And he even, in verse 4 it says, he even wanted bad things to happen to him if he had done bad things to other people. Verse 10 is, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. I think he's here still talking about the wicked person. And maybe it's this Cush that it talks about before in the front part of the chapter, but he's talking about someone who dug a pit or set a trap for someone else, and then he fell into the same ditch that he made. That has happened a lot, where people try to set someone else up and then they fall into their own trap and are caught. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. It's kind of like the saying, the chickens come home to roost. You know, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. I just wanted to read also, because we see David praying that his enemies would be destroyed. Just wanted to go to Matthew 5 and read what Jesus said about how we're to deal with our enemies. Jesus said, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That was in the law of Moses, that they were taught that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So if you want to be perfect, if someone does something unkind to you, then do something kind to them. If you just love the ones that are nice to you, That's just like anybody. Everybody does that. But when someone is mean or nasty, and you can love them anyway, and here it says to pray for them, and if you can help them out in any way, that's what being a real Christian is about. So, okay, I think I'll wait to give you your assignment until tonight, so you can go back to your seats.